For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It's the Sleepers Podcast. It's Wednesday, April 24th. We're back, better than ever. Carter, how are you?
I'm great, honestly. I did have a thought the other day, though, and I need to run it by you really quickly here. Is the portal ruining your life?
I think it's ruining our lives for various reasons. Like, my coach is using it so much that I hurt. Your coach is using it so little that you hurt. And there's just a lot of chaotic evil happening around us.
So it just ends in hurt, though. At the end of the day, it's mostly just hurt. It's either you wait for the hurt or you get the hurt up front. But the hurt always comes, right?
Carter, everything in life is pain, okay. But life is about learning to love the pain.
Got it. Embrace the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You learn to love the pain, and all of a sudden the portal is a beautiful thing.
Okay. All right. There we go.
That's where I'm at. I do have an enemy I was going to talk to you about.
Another one?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this offline, and I forgot to bring it up. I've decided that collectively you and I should make Scoops Guys our opposition. Like, we are just purely at odds with Scoops. We hate Scoops. We are anti-Scoops, and we want to bring the Scoops industry down.
Okay, that works, except we need to do something to make sure that it's related to media Scoops, because outside of that, I'm a massive fan of any other Scoops, like Scoops of ice cream, the actual scooper to get the ice cream. If you're at like one of those places where you put the scooper inside the candy and like put it into a bag and stuff like that, love that. Love the scooper to get popcorn. Honestly, the scooper utensil is a very special tool. So can we just make sure that it's media Scoops that we don't are fans of?
Tostitos Scoops.
Yeah, like that's a great chip.
Scoop Jardine.
I love Scoop Jardine.
I think you're right. There's a lot of good Scoops. But yes, I just want to take down the Scoops industry, which is not all these other Scoops. I want to take down the entire game of all these people who just sit and wait to like get a Google alert that Adam Schefter has tweeted that Michigan got a new recruit, and then everybody rushes to do their sources tell blank that this person, like, no, sources didn't tell you shit. You saw the Adam Schefter tweet. That's what happened. And like, the whole industry's liars. Everyone in this industry is liars. Some of them are your liars. Some of them are my liars. I like a lot of these liars, but they're all lying. Everybody's lying. Can we take it down?
I would say that, but I also have text proof yesterday that I'm like, when did lying and coaching not become a thing anymore? What happened to the game I love, man?
So we're pro lying. I forgot.
It's complicated. We can't get into this. We'll keep going. We're not pro lying. I am pro my coach lying to get recruits.
If we're pro lying, are we pro Scoops?
I did not expect this mental pretzel to hit me like this.
We might actually love the Scoops industry. I might have just done a complete heel turn on this.
So, okay, so we got to get an updated list of our ops when we get a chance.
Do I just hate specific scoopers? I thought I hated all Scoops.
Do you hate the Scoopies?
hate the scoops, don't hate the scoopers. But that goes against the hate the player, don't hate the game. I hate the game. I don't hate the players.
We got to work on this. I see where you're coming from, but I think we need to fine tune this a little bit.
Okay. So in our sleepers year end business meeting, we can make a full 3-hour session on do we hate the scoops industry?
Yeah. It's quarterly, not year end. Yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay. Understood. Let's get to the show. Hey, on the note of things are fun right now and things are going well in some ways for us, I've dropped some accolades. I've said some good numbers, some good things from time to time on this program. Yesterday was the highest view day in Sleeper's channel history. I think this might be like the third or fourth time we've gotten to say that in the last couple of months. But the fact that April 22nd, a Monday in the off season, a month after the season ended, outperformed any day during the season, including March Madness when we were doing a bunch of crazy stuff. That's crazy to me. That's really, really good. That's an awesome sign that this is sustainable for us. So shout out to everybody who watched yesterday. Shout out to everybody who was in the comments. Shout out to you and me and Riley Davis for putting the work in this week to get some videos on the channel. Good times. What's the YouTube comment? You have a lot of comments to choose from.
I do. Don't sleep on us either. I just want to make that known. This one comes from Spencer Miner. And it says, has anyone checked on the Purdue versus Illinois preview episode from the past season to see if they reached the views needed for the bowling hot dog challenge? I don't think they put a time limit on the challenge, did they? We should all probably view and share that video. I'm actually going to look up that video right now. Because actually, did we put a time limit on that?
We did not. No.
We did not. I beat Greg in bowling, by the way, for anyone who's wondering, in our first game in at the Final Four. I don't know if we brought that up or not.
Yeah, it was the most embarrassing athletic result of my life.
We were also running off like 2 hours of sleep.
Also, Connor Hope cooked both of us. You trying to claim a win against me, like that's, we missed the entire point. You and I should have been trying to bring Connor Hope down. He was dancing on our grave.
Yeah, I was 100% focused on
it. I have it right here. So we said we need to hit 15K views in order to do the hot dog bowling challenge. The highest viewed video we have from this season was Purdue UConn National Championship preview, and it was 14K. None of the videos hit 15K. We do have one video in channel history that hit 21K. Any guesses what that video is without looking it up?
Gotta be an Illinois video.
Matthew Meyer picks Illinois.
Oh, what a time.
What a time that was. It was impressive. Yeah. Okay. But I guess that's still open. We can still do the hot dog bowling challenge if people get it up to 15, but it seems unlikely at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it would be fun to do.
Looking through our best viewed videos this year, man, Purdue UConn, Purdue Gonzaga, Purdue Illinois. Was Miles Colvin unhappy? Colin Chandler transfers to Kentucky. Mason Gillis is in the portal. You noticing a trend there?
I do notice somewhat of a trend.
Are we a Boilermaker podcast?
But they don't like us.
Some of them like us.
True. Most of them, right?
I'd say some of them. Let's get to the Discord.
I'm stretching a little bit.
Let's get to the Discord. Join the Discord, $9.99 a month. I had a couple people reach out to me on Twitter yesterday, DM, ask how to join the Discord, and I sent the link. So if you're listening to this and you're one of those people, would love to see you give it a shot. This community is growing. It is. $9.99 a month is what gets you in. And then every single day we're talking college hoops in various forms. We are answering comments for this show. Carter and I will share various pieces of intel that we get. We do get a lot of information on where portal happenings are happening. No, we're not Trilly Donovan level. Don't get me wrong. You can subscribe to his Discord as well. I'm sure it's great. But, you know, we will share things we hear from time to time that could maybe allude to the fact or let you know that Luke Goody's going to go to Indiana days before he even hits the portal. You know?
You know what's funny about that is that because we're not, at least me personally, I think you definitely get more information than I do, but I'm starting to get more than like I'm even expecting or wanting. So like people will DM me. I'm like, what the fuck you telling me for? Like, like that's good to know, but like you want me to do something with this? But I do appreciate it. That's not to say I don't appreciate it. I'm just like, that's crazy that they're sending me the scoop. Like they want me to have it. I'm just like, oh, All right.
In your defense, you have a very scoopable face.
I'm going to take that as disrespect because there's no way to possibly flip that to be good.
Let's get to the comments here. It starts with Guy, who says, this is a response to Jesse, who had a proposal for Guy doing our light work segment. He said, in addition to this, can you guys start doing stuff to get me hate comments? I need some adversity.
The thing is, I only know how to generate self-adversity for myself. I don't know how to create adversity for others.
Yeah. Also, Guy's already pretty good at creating adversity for himself, I think. We've been texting him a little bit. Like, he sent us a cry for help meme yesterday where he had the Mountain West, like, lumped in that Ninja Turtle meme where it's like the dad becomes the grandfather.
It's Master Splinter, right? He's got the little turtles next to him, little Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then Master Splinter is old and short. And then you got, you know, the rest of the turtles grown up.
Yeah, and it was the Big Ten and the ACC were Master Splinter, and then all the other conferences, including the Mountain West, were the big boys. We had to check on Guy. But Guy keeps expressing he wants to get more involved with Sleepers, which is going to happen this offseason. We're just waiting some other developments first that we told Guy about, but we're expanding in various forms in the next couple weeks. And then hopefully Guy's school year ends and we can get him more involved on socials and some other ways. Sean Vowles says, Guy has one more. He said, Lorenzo Romar is that guy. Got Javon Porter to follow him. Holy cow. LMU might be better than St. Mary's in the WCC this year. Did you like the holy cow?
Why are we subjecting ourselves to this?
I love Guy. I do.
Guy too, but he needs to stop. It's gone too far.
I think it's a cry. Like, you know how when, like, well, you might not know this, but I am starting to know this. Like, sometimes my daughter will act up or do something she knows she's not supposed to just to get my attention. I think that's what's going on here.
I still do that.
Yeah, you do. Sean Vowles says, chances that Kyle Neptune is the Villanova coach 1 year from today.
I think this is the last year as Kyle Neptune is coach of Villanova.
I think it's 50-50. I know that's a cop-out, but his team's going to be bad. Unless they're like Juwan Howard bad, though, I think they would probably give him one extra year. But I don't know.
If he's done at the end of the season, just know I'll be there.
Izzo's friend Jake says, all of these Michigan videos while Tom sits on his hands is really starting to get to me. I'm happy for you, Greg, but I want to be happy for me. I want to be happy for you too, Jake. I really do.
I will say this, and I fell victim to this, and this is, call it glass half full, call it what you want. Michigan is supposed to be more active in the portal than we are. They have a lot more spots to fill.
Yeah,
I will say that. Doesn't excuse, I think, the lack of net that we're casting as far as transfer portal targets. That's a whole nother discussion, but also can't do the one for one thing. But without putting that logic into it, I will say it is pretty, it's not the best feeling of all time to just see like all these guys going to Michigan and Dusty getting all these guys from the portal, and we are still waiting on one guy.
Yeah. I have more thoughts. We're doing some of this later, so I'll save them. Middle name Mateen says, let it be known that I am 1-0 head-to-head against Malik Perry. He won't accept his defeat. He runs from the grind, is afraid of stats and facts. He is the hyena, laughing in the face of the lion, but runs when a lion fights back. Call Carter the queen of the cats all you want, but hyenas are scavengers eating the leftovers of the lions. If only you had the grind gene and could kill food for yourself.
Somehow, some way, our Discord comments always find their way back to like National Geographical theme things. And I'm not really that mad at it, to be honest with you.
That's how you know Malik Perry has dominated our Discord. Like, he runs.
That's how you're approaching it, basically. That Malik Perry has rent in everyone in the Discord. He affects the Discord, every single member.
We're playing his game. Like, we are playing Discord on Malik's terms, and that's the nicest compliment I can give Malik. Malik responds and says, one, you scored no points. Two, I said what I said, and you can't prove me wrong when neither one of the players is in the Big Ten. So toot your own horn when you win something. And for the record, I'm a honey badger. If you know, you know. Facts win you points. Now go run to your Lion King who married his half-sister.
What?
I think he's trying to say you married your half sister.
I didn't.
I'm so confused. I have no idea what Malik Perry and Milne Matin's bet is or what they're fighting over, but entertaining to say the least. Same Old Lions says, does Guy just not realize that he has enemies in the CTESPN channel? Why does he need more?
I have yet to read the CTESPN channel.
Yeah, I won't go in there. I'm really afraid of what's going on in there.
I went in there one time, like 3 or 4 months ago, I think. And Coleman's Burner and UK were discussing like a challenge of would they between my vacuum that was in my background. And that's when I immediately left the channel.
We're going to move on. Derek says, perfect Mother's Day gifts. Feel free for Sleeper's Mal to give her input too. I don't think my wife, who's in the Discord, saw that. Mal was active before her flight yesterday. She's on a work trip right now, but she's a little busy. Maybe she'll get around to that in a couple days. What's your perfect Mother's Day gift, Cart?
First and foremost, non-negotiable, something in person. Gotta be with your mother. Hey, even if you're just hanging out with her, even if it's just like hanging out in the kitchen with her, you gotta spend time with your mother, on Mother's Day. Like, find a way, no matter what. Two, something that's just not bought, like, but it could be bought, but it's got to be something personal. And I don't know, and everyone's mom's different, but like, my mom just loves any gift that I give her that has some type of personal touch to it or something like that. Like, I think one of her favorite gifts that I've ever given her, and it wasn't for Mother's Day, but it was for Christmas, is it was like a custom snow globe that like I put our family in, and like little miniature Elliot family members inside a snow globe. And I have never, ever seen a Christmas where that snow globe has not been like front and center. And she brings it up all the time. So something personal gift, but time is the most important. Go spend time with your mother.
That's great advice. Cartel hitting the heartstrings today. I feel like a lot of the life advice that either you've given or I've heard you talk about things that matter to you always come back to be there. And I think it's always an important note. Like, you are always spot on. Being there is like half the battle with a lot of this stuff. Like, you got to be there. Got to be present, right, in your family's
gotta
life.
Got to be there. Yeah. And also to my own horns, because when I'm there, my presence is felt. Okay. Like, maybe y'all being there is not going to hit the same, but let me tell you, when I'm there, I'm there.
This is true. It's not incorrect. I'm also, the only thing I'll add, I'm a flowers guy. I am a flowers guy, as gifts to mothers, to wives, for anything. So I usually incorporate flowers. I would say like something you make or do together, some flowers, and then like maybe just something more material that they like. That's usually to cover all your bases, you know?
Isn't Mal allergic to pollen?
No, you're making that up.
Okay.
Let's move on. you know the one thing she's allergic to, right?
Yeah, but we've got a theory that it's not real.
It is not real. And I don't want to say it on the show because then people could come kill my wife if it is real. So we're going to save that. Braden Shrewsbury says, who are your respective ops when speaking on gambling? As in, what player or coach do you always lose when betting for or against? I'll go first. Mine are Domantas Sabonis and Yusei Kikuchi.
I don't even know who Yusei Kikuchi is, but my current one, well, before last night, shout out to him, D'Angelo Russell. Whenever I bet on D'Angelo Russell, he's an absolute federal agent. Second is like CJ McCollum or Tobias Harris. Those guys are always just doing things that absolutely kill me. I can't really think of anything else. Honestly, AJ Hogarth was a killer to bet on this season. Like, if you expected him to get anything, like, he just would not get it.
The player that cost me the most money in college basketball this season was Terrence Shannon, without question. You know, from our trip to Champaign for Purdue, Illinois, we were on all the overs. We were on every single over imaginable for Terrence Shannon and the game. And then Terrence Shannon just like was benched in foul trouble the whole game. And then, yeah, I went huge on Illinois against UConn, also huge on Terrence Shannon against UConn, and he no-showed, so... Doesn't warm my heart to say that, but that's the one that comes to mind right now. Malik Perry says, I would like a segment of all the teams that have three or more transfer players coming in and decide which team will be the best and which will be bad. Yeah, I think we got to let the portal die down a little bit. but I like that. We're going to do some kind of portal class rankings or grade system stuff just once we get a little more clarity. Wouldn't make sense to do all that right now because there's still too many moving parts. And then Malik, second comment today, he says, Carter, which would blow your cat's mind more? Or no, sorry, Carter, which would blow your cat mind more? If I was real, a burner, or AI? By the way, what's it like living under my bed?
What?
Do you have an
like
answer?
What?
What would blow your cat mind more? If Malik was real, a burner, or AI?
Real. If he was real, that would blow my mind.
I mean, somebody is typing these comments. There's
Are
a human being out there. There is some being, whether real, whether human, whether AI, that is your op that claims you are living under his bed.
He's not real. I refuse to believe it. He's not.
Malik also says, it's funny how someone blocks me but wants to know what I'm doing every time Greg says my name. Carter has PTSD.
Malik, I'm not afraid of you, Malik. I just want to know.
You're letting him win with the block, I'm telling you. This is just a huge victory lap for Malik, and there's nothing you can do about it until you unblock him. Guy says, here are some coaches who have had good off seasons. You should rank how they've done. Here's the 8 coaches. Drew Valentine, Scott Drew, John Gross, Mick Cronin, Josh Schertz, Jared Calhoun, Mike Woodson, Kim English.
Are they asking us to rank those coaches?
Just give me some winners and losers. I don't think we need to do all 8. Mike Woodson's the biggest winner for sure.
Yeah, Mike Woodson's a winner. Scott Drew is too. The Roche pickup's amazing for them. Yeah, I think those are the 2 that come to mind right away. Kim English is doing some really good things at Providence, I must say, though. Like, you got Wesley Cardet, the Chicago State transfer. I think he's a bucket. They're doing some good things in the portal, too.
Yeah, to me, if we were, like, tiering this, Woodson at the top, Drew probably in the same tier, but second, then I think Schertz, Valentine, and Kim English I'd lump together. Then I'd lump Cronin, Calhoun, and Gross together.
Good one. Gross.
Yeah, gross. Guy says Dayton has been listed as a WCC team on ESPN for about a month now. The Mark Few disease is spreading.
I think that we need to set up an in-person meeting with Guy.
Just have a little heart-to-heart conversation.
Yeah, I think we need to feel some things out.
Honestly, I don't want to point fingers, but a lot of this behavior seems to have been developed from Guy after he met Riley Davis in person.
I was honestly thinking that. Wasn't going to say it out loud.
Malik's back. He says, if you want to know what the grind gene is, Carter, it's willing to work through the hard times to get to your goal. Izzo is not going to pay millions for players, plain and simple. That's his way. Don't like it, then don't watch or follow the team.
I might take him up on that offer.
Seems like a small contingent of Michigan State's fan base might appreciate if you did.
You'll miss me when I'm gone.
Damn Skippy. Eric NJ Boiler says, I think it's time to put this, quote, grind gene BS to rest. Maybe everyone missed it back in March when it was mentioned that Carter has a full-time gig other than this. I heard it and then found Carter on LinkedIn. Then I looked up Greg, too. All that content during the NCAA tournament, vacation days from Carter's, quote, day job. I assume that Carter and I have the same goal right now, make the side gig the only gig. RIP grind gene BS.
Hey, just let it be known. Cartel does not rest. I don't know what rest is. I was waking up actually to do work before going to work. I'm on my Hummel.
Yeah. I've said it for about a year since we really started upping how much video content we just do a day, because we weren't working like this a year ago, but it's shifted quickly. You are the second hardest working person I've met in this business, without question. The first is Robbie Hummel.
I'll take second.
Yeah, you can be lumped in there. You also have this innate ability to work like 17 hours in a day, but everybody thinks you're only working like 20 minutes. It's impressive.
Yeah, efficient is what I like to say.
It's really nice. Tune, or no, sorry. Yeah, no, actually Tune says Duke got a player who can hold his own during their next court storm.
I didn't even think about that. Great pickup by Shire.
That's an all-timer great comment. Thank
that
you.
That is. I'm honestly mad as hell that me or you couldn't come up with that during the portal commit. That's a shame on us, but thank you to Tune.
I also laid an egg in that video. I said Mason Gillis commits to Purdue on my edit. And I meant to say Mason Gillis commits to Duke. That's what I get for editing while we're recording other videos.
Hey, it happens.
It happens. Rowlett, Texas Boiler says, in the coming decade, what do you think is the best coaching team building strategy? One, stick with high school recruiting, only portal when losing guys unexpectedly. Two, all portal, very little high school recruiting. Three, close to 50-50 mix, always saving some scholarships for portal guys to keep you talent with proven guys and fresh potential.
I think option three is the one, but I think in the next 10 years, it'll be like more like 75-25, 25 being portal, 75 being high school. And maybe there's a shift in transfer portal strategy. Like you look at, I'll just use UConn because obviously they're a team that won back-to-back. I think they're the prototype blueprint right now for like a building a winning team. They had high school recruits and Klingon and Stephon Castle and Solomon Ball and those guys, Jalen Stewart, that whole class. They had Tristan Newton, who's a transfer, a multi-year transfer at that, which helps. And then there are...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Also able to bring Cam Spencer into the fold. Caravan was a recruit of theirs. I just think it has to be, you know, the mix of perfect guys. And for anyone out there who hasn't gone and listened to Hurley on Old Man and the Three with J.J. Redick, just like amazing insight and pod into like Hurley's mindset on like his recruiting and how he brings players. And like, it just helps you kind of understand the madman that he is. Really good listen. I suggest after listening to Sleepers, you go put that on.
Yeah. My takeaway from that episode was that Hurley doesn't get nearly enough credit for the smart mind that he is. Like,
yeah.
I think people just paint him as this crazy lunatic that hits some recruits and is a motivator. Like, no, he's a basketball genius.
No, he's a mad scientist. That's what he is. Yeah. He's a mad scientist. Also, before we move on, I got to say this. It'll always bother me, though, that Hurley wears his snapbacks with every single snap on. That, like, kills me.
Can I ask you one Hurley question? I don't know the backstory here. Maybe I'm stupid on this. Given, like, obvious familial connections, couldn't Duke make a play at Danny Hurley? And, like, why aren't they?
Well, because Danny didn't play at Duke, though.
No, but, like, family, right? Like,
I mean, it's there for sure, but, like, I don't know. I still think it's a distant cousin. It's a second cousin of the brotherhood, and they rather hire first cousins or actual brothers or sisters.
Okay. I mean, I think he's a brother of the brotherhood.
I mean, if things go awry with Shire, I'm surely they'll be making that call.
I'm not saying he would take it. Like, Kentucky tried to get him and he didn't, but I don't know. I'm like a little surprised, like, a Hurley brother is so ahead of the game right now, and like Duke's not even interested. And I get they got Shire, but it's just kind of fascinating to me. Back to the question here. I think 50-50 mix is the best team building strategy. I think all portal is better than no portal. If you're trying to win championships in this era, using the tools at your disposal will always be better than not. That's where I'm at. And I get, especially with Purdue fans, they're going to be like, boom. Yeah, right. The best can still do it. I'm going to keep my eye very closely on how Purdue does things going forward because I love the players on the team right now. I really do. He is still recruiting really, really well and bringing the right guys in. But we have to accept that, like, Edie being so much better than he was ever expected to be was a big part of this. And if that didn't happen, who knows where Purdue would be right now. Got to use your abilities. And by the way, like, Lance Jones was a huge part of why they won last year. They portaled. Like, you should be mixing in the portal. You shouldn't just do it because you're against the portal for whatever reason. And your coach is now saying he wants to be like Purdue. So that's not a great sign for him portaling. Sorry. Travis Nelson says, Roddy Gale never felt weird to me because there's nothing more dead than the Michigan-Ohio State hoops rivalry, but there's something about Holloway that irks me. Yeah, these guys don't grow up in the rivalries, but I think it takes some self-awareness to read the room if there's a big-time rivalry going on.
I said another one. The only reason I respect this is because I'm putting myself in Aiden Holloway's shoes. One, Bama works for me basketball-wise. Two, part of me does want to bust Auburn's ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get a quick mini rant off real quick. I say this as a Michigan State alum. One of my most annoying things is when Michigan State fans try to say what the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is. Like, the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is real in basketball. It is. It's not nearly as intense as football is. But, like, the Aaron Kraft-Trey Burke shit was real. Those guys hated each other. Like, Trey Burke and Jared Sullinger had a history. And those years were awesome. There have been years since. Like, I'm going back a decade. And to Travis's point, like, it's never been more dead. There's been a lot of guys in and out. But, like, Juwan Howard hated Ohio State. Like, Juwan Howard needed to beat Ohio State without his star, Hunter Dickinson, a couple years ago to make the tournament. They did. They went into Columbus and got a win. Like, there are moments in that rivalry that still have mattered on both sides. And I think Michigan State fans pretty loudly underestimate that and act like nobody cares when maybe nationally nobody cares, but I think Michigan and Ohio State care.
Yeah. Two things. I hate Aaron Kraft too. And I just think it's, I don't think it's downplayed. I just think that they just consider Michigan State, Michigan is the basketball rivalry. Like, you can have one basketball rival and it's us, not Ohio State.
Yeah, I think it's both is all I would say, and that's not downplaying. I think Michigan State is a much more heated basketball rivalry for sure. But I can, like, they circle that one. They circle it every single year, even if it's not Michigan State. Middle name Mateen says, "Craft your perfect Big Ten coach. Give me Painter's play calling, Izzo's madness, and March situational coaching, Woodson's recruiting, and Hoiberg's looks."
I'll take Chris Collins' looks. For what it's worth, I'm working on a theory that Hoiberg might be too handsome. He needs a little something on him. His hands are too clean. Chris Collins got a little more to him. I like the madness of Izzo. I do like the X's and O's play calling of paint. But if I can add something, give me like the X's and O's of paint. But I love the offensive philosophy of Underwood. If I can double dip in that, because I like the ability to just kind of let your guys go and kind of just do the I got killers thing. But if I can mix some X's and O's from paint in there, I would love that offensive attack.
Yeah, that feels like
cheating, right? You can't do that.
Well, because they're just so opposite of each other. It's like, give me both. I don't know.
I'm greedy.
Give me Illinois strength staff. Give me...
Put a nickel in the jar.
I didn't say the name. Give me I'm taking Dusty for looks, for the record. My guy's tan. Until that tan wears off, I'm in.
He's losing his tan a little bit.
A little bit, but it's still there right now. He looks good in a polo. I don't know. I don't want any Big Ten coaches. My actual answer. I don't think I love any of this. I was going to nitpick Izzo's March situational coaching. Can you tell me what that has meant in the last 5 years?
What his situational coaching in March?
Yeah. Give me Izzo's March situational. What is this? 2009?
Nah, I mean, made a Sweet 16, I guess. I don't know, man.
Okay. I just
maybe if it's anything, it's like, oh, this team is just like underachieving. It's the same thing you said in the Discord. It's like, oh, this team is going to underachieve and somehow win a game in the tournament. And that's fine with people.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They are always prepared. Like I said, after they just eviscerated Mississippi State, like that was a program win. Like, it doesn't matter how your season goes. The Michigan State program is always going to show up and be ready. I don't know that I view that as much as like situational coaching. Maybe I'm nitpicking the words, but like what wasn't Painter situationally better in games than Izzo in March this year? Like,
yeah,
or I get it was it's a 1 year sample, but I haven't looked at what Izzo's done in like a long time, and like situationally he's crushing. It's just the program itself shows up, which he deserves credit for, but
yeah, barely.
That's me nitpicking. Okay, that's the show. Malik Perry's commenting right now. He's typing, but we're not going to wait for it. We're going to ignore that. We'll save that for tomorrow and let that hang over Carter's head. We have three topics today. I meant to say this at the top of the show. All three of these are basically updates to marquee recruits that we've done videos on and we have thoughts on that affect our programs or some of the biggest programs in the country. We're going to talk Trey Townsend. We're going to talk Aiden Mahaney. We're going to talk Kobe Brea for the rest of this episode. But first, we're going to talk about our sponsor, MyBookie. MyBookie, the very best place to place a bet. Carter, tell the people about MyBookie.
I mean, MyBookie is absolutely everything you need in the sportsbook and the only sportsbook that Sleeper Media utilizes every single day. They make it easy to play your way and get paid. You have everything on there from expert predictions, player parlays, prop bets. I mean, really everything you need is all at MyBookie, and they make it easy to play your way. And right now, we have an instant deposit bonus of up to $1,000. All you have to do is use promo code SLEEPERS. That's promo code SLEEPERS to take advantage of this instant deposit bonus today. The NBA playoffs are going on right now. There's like three games a night that are going on right now. There's plenty of things to bet on. If you're going to do so, head over to MyBookie. Take advantage of that instant deposit bonus. That's promo code SLEEPERS. And happy betting.
Appreciate that, Cart. Appreciate that, MyBookie. Let's get.
Can I get a shout out for finally nailing? I always slip up on instant deposit bonus. That always has me in absolute hell for some reason, and that one I did seamlessly.
I gotta be honest. I haven't noticed you slipping up much on the ad reads.
Really?
You've been crushing the ad reads. You have.
Okay. Yeah. Internally, I'm always in a tizzy off instant deposit bonus.
No, you've been crushing. You really have. Okay. To the show. Let's start with your guy or not your guy, Trey Townsend. I said it last week. I don't think anybody knows what's going on with Trey Townsend. I think now that we're on the other side of this, we have a little bit of a clearer picture of what's actually going on. But I believe you can confirm this for us. Trey Townsend is not visiting Michigan State officially as of last night. That report broke on Twitter from Tony Paul. Tony Paul, if like this is not meant as disrespect to Tony Paul. I think he does a great job at what he does. Tony Paul's not usually the guy I expect to like break Michigan State recruiting transfer news. So Tony Paul has connections to Oakland. He covers things in that area. So like it makes sense. Oh, he has a scoop on what's happening with Trey Townsend here. But this kind of goes back to my point that like, I don't think anybody around Michigan State knew what was going on here. It was like, well, first Izzo doesn't want Trey Townsend. Then all of a sudden he's visiting and Izzo does want Trey Townsend. Then all of a sudden, like you couldn't confirm the visit. You were like behind the scenes, nobody can confirm that it's happening, even though there's reports that it's happening. And then the day before it was supposed to happen, there's a report it's not happening. So did Michigan State want Trey Townsend? First of all, let's start there.
I think Michigan State did want Trey Townsend. And this is just me speaking from what I think Michigan State wanted Trey Townsend. Trey Townsend did not want Michigan.
Michigan State.
I think, Michigan State did not want Trey Townsend. I'm sorry. I'm confused because there's so much stuff going on around it. I'm trying to nail this down. I think that Michigan State would have gladly wanted, like they taken/wanted Trey Townsend, right? Now there's maybe some details that might've held that up, but the biggest detail of all that is not being spoken on is Trey Townsend didn't want to play for Michigan State. Like he just didn't want to. I don't think that he wanted to play in the Michigan State, you know, the way that maybe the roster's looking, maybe how he's utilized as a player. I don't think he thinks he could have had that at Michigan State, and whether that's true or not, that's kind of how he feels. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter that Trey Townsend wants to go somewhere with one, a bag, and two, he wants to play the three. That's a lot of the chatter around this.
Can I hand up for a second?
Yeah.
I don't buy that part at all. You can continue,
the playing the three part?
I do not buy that part at all, but you can continue.
Do you buy the bag part?
100%, yes.
Okay, bag part's a thing. So like, honestly, that probably put us out off rip, I'm guessing. But like I said, I think that Trey Townsend straight up just did not want to play for Michigan State. Like that's what it is. And that kind of sucks because, one, I think that you give me a front court of Trey Townsend and Xavier Booker, I'm extremely ecstatic about how that plays out this season. But you know, if there's factors such as bag put in, I think that Michigan State's going to lose a lot of those battles when it comes down to bags, unfortunately. I don't know why it's that way, but seems that it is.
Yeah. Okay. Couple thoughts from me here. First off, thank you for confirming what you know. It's a bummer. Like, Michigan State fans should be bummed in general. Like, I'm not rooting for Michigan State basketball, but I think it's a bummer because I think it would have been a great fit. I've been wrong here. I've been wrong about a lot of things lately, but I think when Trey Townsend first hit the portal, I was like, I'll be shocked if he doesn't end up at Michigan State. I wrongfully assumed that the Greg Campy-Tom Izzo relationship would hand deliver Trey Townsend to Michigan State without knowing anything about Trey Townsend and his level of interest in general. I think a lot of people kind of made the same mistake I did, where it was like, this one makes so much sense. It just has to happen. It's why it was confusing at first that Izzo wasn't putting the full court press on him. And then I think it's why in hindsight, people are like, wait a second, what went wrong here? Once it became clear that Trey Townsend isn't going to choose Michigan State after Tom Izzo did express interest. Let me give some quick thoughts and you stop me if you disagree along the way with any of this. This is a bummer. You should be bummed. That does not mean that Michigan State did anything wrong here. Like, Michigan State did not F this up. I have seen some of that. Like, I know there were people last night after Tony Paul's tweet that were like, great, is a way to not prioritize this. That's not what happened here. Like, and I get it wasn't reported that Izzo like immediately was trying to get him on campus when he hit the portal, but it doesn't matter. I don't think Michigan State could have like recruited harder and ended up getting Trey Townsend. I will say a little bit here, and if you're in our Discord, you know this. Carter, I think, missed this over the weekend, but I sent him screenshots last night. I do have a friend of mine who, an internet friend, I shouldn't say friend, I've never met this person in real life, but we've corresponded about college basketball stuff through the years. And he hit me up on Saturday last weekend and said, hey, just watched your Trey Townsend video. Here's some stuff that I know that you may be getting wrong here. Here's some info. And it's important. Like, I took it serious when I got sent these messages because he talks to Trey Townsend regularly. Like, he is around Oakland. I'm not going to reveal too much, but like he talks to Trey Townsend regularly. I know that for a fact when he messaged me.
Is your internet friend Greg Campy?
He's not.
Okay.
But again, when this person messaged me about Trey Townsend, I'm like, oh, I know this person knows Trey Townsend on a friendly basis regularly. Mm-hmm. The message essentially said, like, it's not anything about Izzo. It's not about it, or like what Michigan State's doing. It's not money. It's not visits. It's not et cetera. It's just that straight up Trey Townsend isn't that interested in playing for Izzo and Michigan State. And he was like, I think he's going to end up visiting. That's what he said. He was like, he's going to do a favor to Campy. But like, he has verbally said out loud, yeah, I'm not going to Michigan State. That was the way Trey Townsend felt long before Tom Izzo picked up the phone. And as you and I both know, like, this isn't saying Michigan State did anything wrong or it's right or wrong of Trey Townsend. But as you and I both know, when you grow up in this state, you are wired one way or the other. Even if you're not like a diehard Michigan fan or a diehard Michigan State fan, Izzo is such a polarizing figure. If you care about college basketball, you're either an Izzo guy or you're not an Izzo guy. Like, there's not a lot of middle ground there. And right. As a player, Trey Townsend is not an Izzo guy. Like, that, as much as Michigan State Twitter wanted to say he's our kind of guy, because his game is, mentally, he's just not a fan of Izzo that way, according to people that know Trey Townsend. So, in hindsight with that, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, I don't think there was a world here where Michigan State was going to, like, host him on a visit and completely change that. Like, certainly there was a chance. You would have loved to get that chance and see what happens on the visit. Maybe you can wow him. But I think the reality is, like, the roots are so deep when you grow up in the state the way Trey Townsend did. Like, if you're not an Izzo guy, you're probably not winning that recruitment. And then the second half of this is bag, straight up. Like, Ohio State and Arizona, he already did official visits for. Both of those schools are bag dropping schools right now. Like, we know that. It's proven. So, like, Izzo's been telling people publicly this offseason, like, you know, NIL is a thing. Players are going to get paid. I'm not saying that's bad, but also, like, some players aren't worth what they're getting. Like, I don't know what Tom Izzo would say Trey Townsend's worth. I would strongly assume he's going to think it's less than what is already on the table for him at Arizona or Ohio State. So when you combine that, like, guy already doesn't love Tom Izzo. The other half of this rumor was he was kind of hoping to end up at Michigan, and he was upset that Michigan wasn't recruiting him the way he wanted him to. Like, if you go back and look at these past couple weeks, like, Michigan did call him, and he took an unofficial visit to Michigan. Notice it wasn't an official visit. Dusty didn't want him on an official visit because Dusty was slow playing him as a Danny Wolf backup plan. So I think Townsend felt that. I don't think it's a coincidence that Townsend has been waiting, because I think if Danny Wolf had gone to UNC, maybe you see Michigan's recruitment pick up, and maybe that's where Townsend had kind of been hoping to end up here. But when Danny Wolf commits, all of a sudden he's ready to cancel visits and he knows what he's doing. That's interesting to me. I think he's going to end up at Ohio State with his teammate Micah Parrish here. Micah Parrish started his career at Oakland. Micah Parrish just committed to Ohio State. I'm sure they were together on the visit. There's a lot of signs that point to that. And the only thing I would nitpick from what you said, I don't think this has anything to do with on-court fit whatsoever. Like, and I think from what I have seen, that narrative is coming from people who are trying to justify why Trey Townsend would not be interested in Michigan State. And to me, like, it's more simple than anyone's making it. He just isn't an Izzo guy. Sometimes that's it. It's not Trey Townsend's like, oh, he's going to play me at the wrong position. Like, no, Trey Townsend's a four. He's a great four. Wherever he goes, he's going to play the four. Like, Felix Akpara is leaving Ohio State so that Aaron Bradshaw and Trey Townsend can start and be the front court. And I know you love Devin Royal, but, like, Devin Royal's not as good as Trey Townsend. Trey Townsend is going to be the starting four for Ohio State. So, to me, that's it. Don't oversimplify or don't overcomplicate this. Like, it sucks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is what it is. Michigan State can move on and find a better player or another player.
Yeah. I would like to do a friendly sleepers bet that he starts at the three next season for Ohio State, though. Don't got to put anything on it. I just want to on the record that he's going to start at the three next season for Ohio State.
I'm game for that bet, but one, you're way more into Devin Royal than I am. And two, he's not a three at all. Like, and I don't know where the rumors come. Like, is he telling people he's a three? Or, like, where are we buying this rumor?
Apparently, he's making it, and this is like we just started off the episode. We have no clue if this is true or not. And I've heard this from people outside of Michigan State too. That when he's like going on these visits and when he's talking to coaches, he's like, I want to play the three.
Okay, so I strongly disagree with this, and this is just a scoops game thing. This is why I hate the scoops game. My person who gave me the info that he just wasn't that interested in Michigan State, which I believe turned out to be true here, said he was annoyed with Michigan's recruitment of him because Michigan wanted him to play the three. So if you believe my source, who I think has nailed all of this, Michigan wanted him at the three, was pitching him on the three. Michigan was where he wanted to be. He's not ending up in Michigan. I would be stunned if that's like where, like, he's not a three. He knows this game. He's not a three. But yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. But, and last thing, like, I think people assume that any kid from Michigan basically is like picking a side. They're either a Michigan State kid or they're a Michigan kid. Trey Townsend, no bullshit, is an Oakland lifer. The kid was at Oakland his whole life. Like, he wanted to play for Oakland. That's all he wanted to do. I truly believe that if Trey Townsend was a high-level recruit, which he was not, but if he was a high-level recruit, we would have seen a situation where it's like a Ray McCallum type situation. Like, maybe not that high of a recruit, but he would have been a top 100 kid that would have went to Oakland. Like, no matter what, he was going to play for Campy. He was going to be an Oakland Grizzly. Like, that is who he is. And now that he's done his time, not done his time, I don't want to make it seem like a jail bit, but, you know, done his time. But now that he, you know, has been one of the most accomplished Oakland players of all time, basically reached the, I would say, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies pinnacle as a player. Like, he took them to the tournament. They won a title. He was player of the year. I think he won like the Lefty Driscoll or like Lou Henson, like mid-major player of the year award. Like, he did everything he could at that level, right? Now he's just looking to, one, capitalize on his play with money-wise, NIL, that Oakland cannot offer him, and probably just play at a higher level. There was no, like, you know, necessarily a affinity for Michigan or Michigan State. People assume that because, you know, the Campy Izzo relationship, but that ain't got shit to do with Trey Townsend, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to how many other points you want to put, point one way or the other with position-wise. He just didn't want to play for Tom Izzo. He didn't want to play for Michigan State, like you said. And you know what? Does that suck? Yeah, it does. Wish he did. But, you know, not everyone wants to play for Michigan State and Tom Izzo. It's not the greatest honor of all time. You know, there's other wants and needs.
That's not Tom Izzo's fault. Like, okay.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't make everybody want to play for you, right?
It is what it is. Last thing the only other thing that, like, was coming out narratively after this that kind of bugged me is both in our Discord and publicly on Twitter, people were kind of trying to do the, like, oh, well, it's okay, Townsend's not coming because Fiddler is. And I get that. Fiddler is a good ad. We're going to talk about that later today. Fiddler is a really good ad for Michigan State. I've come around more on that than I was the first time. I'll speak to that later. Fiddler and Townsend could happen in tandem. This wasn't one or the other. Their games are nothing alike. And even like Tony Paul, the one who broke the news on Townsend not visiting Michigan State, had a follow-up tweet that I quote tweeted like seven times trying to type up responses to, and then I just ended up keeping them all in the drafts because I really like Tony Paul and I didn't want to get combative. But he literally tweeted like, Frankie Fiddler can do pretty much everything Trey Townsend can, and he has a three-point threat. That's not true at all. These guys are not similar players at all. Like, they play different positions. They're both good basketball players, and Tom Izzo wanted both of them and called both of them. That's the only comparison here. Townsend's a much better shooter. Townsend's a much better perimeter player. Fiddler is a much better shooter. Fiddler's a much better perimeter player. Townsend is a much better post player. Townsend's more physical. Townsend's a better rebounder. They guard different positions. They're nothing alike at all. So just because Michigan State is getting one of them and not getting the other, you do not need to compare them and make it seem like the guy you're getting does what the guy you're not getting does. They don't. They're two different needs. Michigan State still needs a big. Like, that, don't let the fact that you have a bird in the hand in Fiddler make you think, oh, okay, that's our big man ad now. Like, it's a totally different position, totally different need. And I just feel like that's getting swept up here because people are making it seem like it was Fiddler or Townsend. It wasn't. They were supposed to try and get both. And now that you're not getting Townsend, you need to go out and try and get another front court player.
Yeah, just say you lost. Like, you ain't got to – sometimes you just lose. You lose recruitments. It happens. Like, just go with that. I also want to end this with saying that a Fiddler, Booker, Townsend, like, pairing front court wing combo would have moved me.
Yeah, it would have been really good. And also, you said, like, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. Frankie Fiddler's a win. Celebrate that win. It has nothing to do with the Townsend loss. Like,
yeah, anytime you can celebrate a victory over Greg Gard, you got to.
Greg McDermott too. Are they going to recruit other bigs? Yes or no?
Truthfully, I don't think they are.
Townsend was the only one that had active smoke, I believe, right?
There was one other one, but it doesn't. I don't think that's going to come to fruition.
The one other one's the one we've talked about on the show before, right? The old McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
to me, and I'm saying that's not active because it feels like that was news 3 weeks ago. And he's
actively to my knowledge, there are actively to my knowledge, and you know how Michigan State does, they play stuff close to their chest sometimes. So who knows what's going on, but like it's Fidler. That's it right now. It's Fidler. Then we got to hire an assistant coach, and then we got to get a big.
Yeah, you got to start in that order. You got to start from scratch here. Look, Felix Akpara just hit the portal. Call him. Boom. Done. Like, look, there are new guys who will enter. There's a couple, there's a week left for guys to enter. But I do think, like, you know, I've tried to slow play it and say, be patient. They're going to do it. We're basically 3 weeks in at this point. I don't think it's too early at this point to say, like, this could be a disaster. Like, if they truly don't get a big after all they've been through in the last 3 years with this, isn't the fan base going to riot?
Yeah. I will be leading it.
Yeah. The pressure's on, I guess. I would want to see more targets at this point. Like, if Townsend's not happening, okay, show me that you're making some phone calls here. Because it seems like they've really prioritized wings. They were calling a bunch of wings. It does not seem to me at all that they have prioritized a center this year, which is insanity.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, second one, Aiden Mahaney. Want to do a quick update. A report came out from good old Aaron Torres.
Hey.
Good to hear your name, buddy.
Hey, AT. How you doing, pal?
I mean, you're having a wonderful offseason, man. He came out and said that Aiden Mahaney has already basically settled on what his visits are. And there's some interesting things in this. Here's what Aiden Mahaney said. He said, per Aiden Mahaney's AAU coach, Ryan Silver of West Coast Elite, Aiden Mahaney has already visited Creighton. He has visits set up to Virginia and UConn. His final visit will come down to Florida, USC, or Kentucky. Creighton, Virginia, UConn, Florida, USC, and Kentucky. Carter, what do those six schools have in common?
What do those six schools have in common?
Creighton, UConn, Virginia, Florida, USC, and Kentucky.
They're not Michigan.
They're not Michigan. They're not Michigan. Yeah, so this is a surprise because when Aiden Mahaney first hit the portal, a lot of people, I think, presumed Michigan would be the quote-unquote leader. And that he was hitting the portal because his assistant coach, who he's been family friends with since he was three, Joyner, was on Michigan's staff with Dusty May. That appears to not be the case. Now, what I've heard in the last couple of weeks is that Michigan was prioritizing Aiden Mahaney. They were trying to get Aiden Mahaney. That's their plan. They want Aiden Mahaney. If he's not even visiting Michigan, that shocks me because I would think at minimum, if you're visiting a place like Virginia, you would visit the place that your family friend since you were three is at. Like, even just if it's a sympathy visit, and you know you don't want to go there, I would think you do that visit. So how surprised are you that Michigan's not on this list?
I'm very shocked. I'm extremely shocked. I'm shocked just because even, like, take Joyner out, right? Take Joyner out. You're in need of a guard, like a big fish guard. Mahaney is a big fish guard and a guard that I think that Dusty and his offense and the way he operates, he would be extremely, you know, aggressive after him. And then given the fact that you hire this lifelong trainer friend of assistant coach of Mahaney, you at least expect a visit. Like I think a visit at minimum is something that you expect. So it's disappointing, to be honest. And I don't really understand it. And I know that we're going to speak on maybe on another video, maybe why Dusty feels this way, but straight up, just to give like a short answer about it, I think it is a little bit of, I don't know the right word to use. This word might be too aggressive. It's malpractice, I guess. It's disappointing. I just don't understand why you go through the process of, and I'm not saying they hired Joyner just to get at Mahaney basically, but like, you had that connection there. I just don't understand why you wouldn't utilize that.
Yeah, it's a miss. I'll call it that. I don't know. Yeah. malpractice is a word. Without hearing from Dusty on what's going, like if Dusty came out and said, like, I think my guards are good enough, I don't even want Aid Mahaney, then that's malpractice. I don't know if that's what's happening here. I would be stunned if that's what's happening here, because again, a week ago I was told they wanted Aid Mahaney. Something's broken there. Like to go from they want Aid Mahaney to he's not even visiting, something messed up royally here. And the best I can say is it's a total miss. It's a total miss. And I was kind of on a rampage privately yesterday about it in the Discord and elsewhere. Dusty did the Rothstein pod and basically said, yeah, we got one or two spots left, but our roster's pretty much complete after the guys that have been announced. And that's like, they have a great front court. I think between Walters and Wolf and Golden, like they have a win now front court. The guards are like Roddy Gale, Trey Donaldson, and a bunch of unproven guys and a bunch of Michigan returnees from Juwan Howard. That, to me, that's a disaster. And I like Roddy Gale. I think he's going to be really, really good. If Roddy Gale's your first option in the backcourt, I think you're a pretty awful team. So there's other guys here, like Lorenzo Cason just committed. I actually love his film. We'll do a recruit breakdown on him. And maybe there is an element of this to where, like, Dusty's really high on Cason and thinks he can play in year one, and maybe that's part of why. But my interpretation of what's actually happening here is not that Michigan doesn't want Aid Mahaney. It's that Aid Mahaney isn't seriously considering Michigan for whatever reason. And the only reason I can think of that makes sense why he wouldn't even list Michigan or visit Michigan is because UConn is on his list. Like, he's going to visit UConn. If UConn's on your list and UConn has money, Michigan can't compete with that. Just straight up. Right. It's the same thing they're running into with John L. School stuff aside, Michigan's not beating Kentucky or Arkansas for John L. Davis. So I've been very high on Aid Mahaney. I've praised him. I think he's a stud. Whoever gets him is going to love him. It's a miss, and I will criticize Dusty May and staff big time if they can't even get this kid on campus. They have to try. This roster is one backcourt star away from being able to compete. And I think given how good the front court is with what you've added, you need to try and compete. Like, I truly, as a fan, I think it's refreshing. I'm going to like watching it. I'm going to be frustrated if they're like a bubble team because they can't get one more good backcourt, starter level guy. Like, they have a spot. They should be trying. And I don't know if they are or not, but to not get John L. Davis and not get Aid Mahaney on campus for a visit is a disaster, and it's a failure from this brand new staff.
Yeah, I mean, Mahaney's more of a disaster than John L. Davis, probably, though, right?
Like, I think so.
Just because I know you get the list for Mahaney, but like right now his visits are Creighton and Virginia, and I don't mean to like downplay those programs, but come on, if Virginia's getting a visit, you're telling me Dusty May can't get a visit? Like, come on now.
Yeah,
there's no way Aid Mahaney's that excited to leave St. Mary's and play slow basketball to go to play for Virginia, who plays worse offensive basketball and even slower than St. Mary's. Like, I just, it's shocking to me. Also, not a geographic guy, but like, goddamn, like, take a stop. Like, you're in Nebraska, stop on your way to Ann Arbor, then make your way to Virginia.
I will say he looked great in a Creighton uniform. He had the baby blue on. And
he is like kind of small and skinny, like, and frail. I didn't realize that.
I can't be more in on Mahaney. I don't know what it is. If it's like the haircut, the aesthetic, I don't know what. He reminds me of Zach Hirth, and I'm all in on this kid. I think he's a killer. If he goes to Creighton, I'm going to be gassing him up as a first team All-American all offseason.
Oh, wow.
Like, I love Aid Mahaney. Last, just quick notes for me on this. First quick note. This might just be pure false optimism, hope, stupidity from me, but I think there's a very good chance Aaron Torres has no idea what he's talking about.
That's not even you going on edge there. That could be extremely true.
Well, isn't a very large element of this. Like, why is Aaron Torres reporting this? And I'm sure he has a relationship with the AAU coach, but like, this isn't Aaron Torres's game. And Aaron Torres has been wildly wrong about a bunch of shit in the last calendar year. So like, if someone was going to be like, here's his final schools, like, and by the way, the report wasn't even like, here's his final schools. The report was like, here's three schools he might visit. Like, am I supposed to take that as Michigan's 100% out of it? Because he might visit Florida, or he might visit, like, it's a pretty cloudy way to eliminate Michigan here, if that's what we're doing.
Did Rossi report him in two, though?
I didn't see that, if he did.
He might have.
Either way, all I would say is my interpretation of this is his recruitment is still open. It's clearly not trending in the right direction for Michigan, and the fact that they're not obviously getting a visit is a problem. But I don't interpret this news as like anyone's eliminated yet.
Yeah, no, I you truly don't know, to be honest. Once again, this goes back to the whole like Scoops thing and like how it goes, but I don't know. The thing that makes me put a little bit more thought into like that thing might be true is because Michigan has been like pretty spot on and transparent about getting guys for visits and getting them on campus. Like they haven't really wasted much time to, you know, get guys on campus, get their visit going, and, you know, get things kind of squared away. It just seems that if there was one, it would be, you know, it'd be underway by now or set.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I feel like I had one more Mahaney point that I'm forgetting right now. Oh, I do. Just a quick note on what I've been told from the way Dusty's approaching this. Again, he's going on podcasts telling people our roster's almost done. We have one or two spots left, but we're pretty much done. What I have been told at this point is the approach is Dusty and staff are going to wait out and go big fish hunting. Define big fish however you want to. As a fan, I can tell you, I would hope a big fish is a premier starting guard. Whether that's a point guard, a shooting guard, a combo, a wing, I don't know. Give me someone who can slide next to Roddy Gale and Trey Donaldson or whoever else is alongside Roddy Gale and is just a guaranteed good player. John L. Davis and Aidan Mahaney obviously fit that mold. My concern here is Michigan's version of big game hunting is probably not any of the other big schools' big game hunting. Like, Michigan, I know they still have budget remaining, and I know this isn't like, oh, should we take another Trey Donaldson? It's like, no, we're going to wait until we can get someone we think is an impact guy. And if we can't get an impact guy, then fine. But that's what I've been told is the approach. Maybe it won't happen, but to me, Mahaney would fit that. And if it's not Mahaney, hopefully there's some new names that appear in the coming weeks. The only other two I would name that I know they're still actively recruiting, Liam McNeely and Kahani Ruths, who are both incoming freshmen. Again, those are both really good players. I would love to have them. I don't know where that leaves your roster. Like, if you throw Liam McNeely on this team, is he starting at the three and never playing the four? Probably.
The thing is, both those guys are, you 100% add them, and they're good players. At this point, y'all need somebody who can have the ball in their hands and like make some shit happen. And those guys right now are not ball in the hands, make it happen guys.
Yeah, you need a guard desperately. Yeah. So if you're going to compete, you need a really good guard. And hopefully that's what big game hunting means for Michigan. But I'm shocked Aidan Mahaney is not the coming together. I thought they would at least get a visit. We'll see. Okay, final topic today, Kobe Brea. Kobe Brea, all the Blue Bloods want Kobe Brea. I don't think that surprises us at all here. I mean, we called him the best shooter in the portal. Seems like a consensus at this point. Everybody just agrees that. The five schools.
He's the best what? Can you say that again, Greg?
Shooter in the portal.
Okay. I want to make that clear before you get into your rant right now. He's the best shooter in the portal. He's a 6'6 shooter.
I don't know what that means.
He's not the best player in the portal. He's not the best player that's going to commit out of the portal.
Oh, that's what
I love his list. I love him as a player. But I think people are starting to get a little bit distorted on what this guy's going to come in and do. He ain't Dalton Connect, right? He's not like just some guy who's going to come in and absolutely give you 20 points a game. I think he's going to do what he does. I think he's going to average like 15 points a game and knock down shots at a very high clip. I don't think it's going to be as high as he did this season. But I like that the ads, I like the schools on his list make 100% sense for him. But I just want to like not, I want to make a distinction on what you're getting in Kobe Brea. And I know this kind of sounds like I'm shitting on him.
Yeah,
in
you
this
are.
Case, and I, I don't mean it to come across as that, though.
I did not expect that vibe from you on this one. Let's not duck it from it now that it's happening. Like that's what he's the best shooter. He's not the best player. You're surprised this is his list.
Like I would, if I'm choosing between some other wings, like I would want Kay Tyson over Kobe Brea.
Well, UNC apparently wants both.
That's great on them because they like I said, I think they see like a Cam Johnson-esque player in Kobe Brea.
Great player. Lottery pick.
Definitely a great player. But
okay.
The distinction I'm making here, and it's probably nitpicking things, is that like he's not a guy who's going to come in and average like 17, 20 points a game.
So let's do this. The five schools are Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and UConn. Sorry to UCLA. You're officially eliminated from blue blood status. This is how I'm defining blue blood. If Kobe Brea is considering you, you're a blue blood now. That's what we're going to rock with this offseason. So these are the five blue bloods. I want to go team by team and look back at what they had last year. And let's just say if you had dropped Kobe Brea on the team in a certain player's role, what would it have looked like? Because I hear your point on who he is. He came off the bench at Dayton last year. He's not a top 10 player in the country. This is a top 10 player in the country list. With that said, the skill set he has is so important to every good college basketball team ever.
100%.
You pair him with a great coach. You put him in the right role. He's a guy that every team needs, and he's a guy that I think most importantly other players want to play with. Like if you're a great point guard or a great big, you want this guy on the floor next to you because he makes your life so much easier on the offensive end when you have him there. If you dropped him on Kentucky last year and asked him to play Antonio Reeves' role, what does Kobe Brea look like?
Not like Antonio Reeves.
See, I disagree with you. I think he would have been great in that role.
Antonio Reeves was incredible. Like he was off the dribble. He was 20 points a game?
He was off the dribble, but they ran a lot of stuff for Antonio Reeves to just come off these little like down screens off the baseline, Rip Hamilton style, and just catch and shoot.
Antonio Reeves had himself a year last year.
Okay, so you're making it known you don't think Brea is that caliber player, but I'm just saying let's envision what his role would look like. If you drop him on Kentucky, which I get that was Cal and it was different, drop him on Kentucky in a Mark Pope offense. What does Kobe Brea do in year one?
What does Antonio Reeves do on Dayton?
I mean, be very, very good, obviously, but I'm not trying to shit on the caliber of Kobe Brea. I guess that's what we can do here. I'm trying to project, like, what would he bring to these five teams? That's what I'm trying to do. And if you want to say it's 7 points a game, you can say that. But can we do the exercise?
Yeah. Okay. So, not 7 points a game.
Well, okay. So throw him on Mark Pope's offense. Who's the comp you would take from Mark Pope last year that reminds you of Kobe Brea and what he would play?
It'd probably be like who's the knockdown guy? Was it Hall?
They had a bunch of knockdown guys.
Yeah. I don't know what it would look like, but, like he wouldn't be as good as Jackson Robinson.
No, but Jackson Robinson's probably at Kentucky next year. He's playing alongside Jackson Robinson, which is the point. So to me, like he's a double figure game scorer, 40% shooter. If he's at Kentucky under Mark Pope in that offense next to Jackson Robinson, let's go to Duke. Again, now we can look backwards at teams that made sense, but again, this is a team that's going to be built around Cooper Flagg. Like wing shooter Jared McCain, right? Can you play the Jared McCain role next to Cooper Flagg, Tyrese Proctor, and Caleb Foster? What does Kobe Brea's numbers look like for Duke?
Not as good as Jared McCain.
Tell me the numbers. I don't think it needs to be as good as these guys who
Jeremy McCain was like off. I don't think Kobe Brea can really do much off the dribble. That's my thing.
And he doesn't have to, though. Like,
yeah, but McCain did.
I'm just pointing to the roles they're going to be asked to play.
Kobe Brea is probably a 15 a game scorer at Duke.
Okay. And that's somehow not worth it.
It is. It's 100% worth it. I understand why all these teams are after him. I don't know. I wanted
Jared McCain averaged 14 a game last year, by the way. So if we're saying Kobe Brea would average 15. Okay. UNC. Is he Cormac Ryan's role? Okay, here's a guy who's not a superstar. You might even think Kobe Brea can play as well as Cormac Ryan. What does he average?
Kobe Bray will probably average the same as Cormac Ryan on better percentages.
11 a game?
Cormac only averaged 11?
11 a game.
Oh, he'd be better than Cormac.
11 a game on 35% from three. Yeah, Kobe Bray.
Hey, Tyson's also better than Kobe Bray.
You'd get them both. Again, I think this is a guy that you're underestimating right now. Kansas, I mean, the obvious one is Nick Timberlake. He's way better than Nick Timberlake. But
yes, I can say that confidently.
If Nick Timberlake was Kobe Bray, Kansas is awesome last year.
I mean, yeah.
Like, if it was Kobe Bray, Kevin McCullough, Johnny Furphy, Hunter Dickinson, and DeJuan Harris, they're great. He's exactly what they would have needed.
I don't like where this is going.
UConn. You want to put – I think we'd have to say he's Cam Spencer. He can't do what Cam Spencer can do, but that would be the copy. No.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'd be good, but it'd be a downgrade from Cam Spencer.
All right. Well, you and I are, I think, on opposite ends of how impactful Kobe Bray is.
Do you think Kobe Bray would be an upgrade from Cam Spencer?
I think it'd be similar in impact.
Hmm.
I think Cam Spencer, like, does more versatile things. But, I mean, shit. Kobe Bray, they could just run the stuff they ran for Jordan Hawkins, and I think he'd be prolific.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just not – I mean, you could definitely run stuff for him. I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know. It's going to be one to come back to, I guess. If you're Kobe Bryant and these five schools want you, where do you – can you stack rank these actually? Not just where do you go, but give me the 1 through 5 order of where you would want to go of these five blue bloods.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
UConn, one. Kentucky, two, because I don't think you can ignore system, and like that would fit. Shoot a bunch of threes. Then I think I would go Duke, UNC. Who's the last one? Kansas.
Pretty Ooh, great list. Pretty great
a,
list.
That's tough to rank. Ah. Okay, I'm gonna go UConn, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, UNC.
Surprised you have UNC last. Why do you have UNC last?
Then you get K Tyson and you just say no to Kobe Bray.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't think that's going to happen at all. My stack rank would be UConn 1. They're the champs, and Dan Hurley would run glorious things for you. Kansas 2. It's Bill Self. It's the biggest bag, and you are exactly the type of player that DeJuan Harris and Hunter Dickinson need to be surrounded by. Perfect fit. North Carolina 3. I think there's a pretty ready-made role that you've seen before. You would literally just be asked to do what Cormac Ryan did. You're going to play next to RJ Davis. You're going to play next to K Tyson, who's taking the Harrison Ingram role. You know exactly what you're getting into. The bag is deep, and I think that's a national championship caliber roster. The two that are unknown to me are Duke and Kentucky, because you don't know how good Duke's going to be, and you have no idea what's with you at Kentucky. I would go to Duke before I would go to Kentucky. Just because I think you know a little more stability there. And fifth is Kentucky because Mark Pope.
I mean, out of that, just great list, I must
say. Great list. Incredible list. You think he goes to
Kentucky? Can I ask one thing about Kobe Bray before we move on, though?
Absolutely.
Were the percentages this year fake?
No.
Okay. You think that's who he is?
I think there's a middle ground between fake and will he do that again?
Okay. What is that middle ground?
What he's been his whole career?
Like closer to like a 40% shooter from the field and 40 plus from three.
I mean, we have 516 attempts of data to go off of that he's a 43% shooter from three. So, like, do I expect him to make 50% of his threes at Kentucky? No, I do not. But do I expect him to hit 40 or higher on high volume? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I don't like where this went with Kobe. It's okay, but I wasn't expecting it. That's on me. That's a bad scout by me. I got to know. You're going to come at a Dayton guy. Like, I got to know that. That's me not reading the scouting report.
Don't blame me. Sweeney got in my head.
One big thing presented by nobody. What do you got?
This is the first time in a while I think I've come unprepared for my one big thing. Actually, I got one for you. With the weather changing coming up, I will say if no one is invested, and not even invested because it's not that much of invested, but I highly recommend finding a go-to car wash and just getting the monthly plan. That shit is sweet. For real. Because, like, you can get unlimited washes for a month, and I will literally stop by the car wash every single day on my way to work and just get my car wash. You can literally get your car wash every day, and you can get over on people because, like, you can get a car wash 30 straight days, and you're really not paying that much for how much the car wash actually is if you just get it individually.
This is the most unnecessary, extra, nuisance, nonsensical thing I've ever heard from you. You can get a car wash every day. Is a sentence you just said.
Yeah, have a clean car.
Oh my God. That's absurd. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. I have nothing else. That's just, I can't. It's going to take me a minute.
What's your one big thing presented by nobody? That you hate car washes?
Getting a car wash like once a month is fine. I would argue it's unnecessary. I really would. Just drive your car in the rain and throw some suds on that. Also, be blue collar, wash your own car. Going to an establishment to get a car wash every single day is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard. Even the richest person in America should not be doing that. It's a giant waste of time. How dirty does your car get in 12 hours? Like, are you off-roading? What are you doing?
First of all, when's the last time you washed your car by hand? Second, it's not required every day, but you have the opportunity to go every day if you would like. Because it's unlimited. You can go multiple times a day.
This is so stupid. It's like having a library card being like, I mean, you have the opportunity to go to the library every day. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. And even, like, I'm not anti-library, but come on. Goodness. My one big thing presented by nobody is that my dog got bit by another dog on a walk earlier this week. And I have a new op to add to my list. It's the first non-human op. I have a canine op in our neighborhood.
Who bit Benj?
So there's this dog that Benji has had cordial interactions with for his entire life, like 6-7 years. And it's like kitty corner from our house, a block away. They have a fenced in backyard and the dog's always outside. So when we go on walks, we walk by, we let them sniff each other, go up, nice cordial interactions. We did that the other day. Ben sticks his nose through the like picket fence. And would expect it to go as it always does. Wag the tail, 30 seconds, off we move. This time there was a second dog that we did not see in the backyard that was with this dog. This dog came flying in for blood, got Benj pretty good on the nose. Like my boy has a scar all up the right side of his nose. It was bleeding pretty bad on the walk. And, luckily he doesn't seem like he's too in pain because he's a tough MF-er. I'm not gonna lie. I'm proud of my dog. I'm proud of my boy Benj right now. He's protecting his sister. He's protecting the neighborhood. He was standing on business is what he was doing. But yeah, he has a scar, pretty nasty scar on his nose.
So do we like pull up to the owner's crib? Like, what's up? Like your dog just like, do we got to fight?
The owners were nowhere to be found. Also like in their defense, Benj did stick his nose through their fence. So like, if you don't want to get bit, maybe don't stick your snooter through the fence, but like, I don't know. I was about it. I liked Benji's energy. I stand by his energy here.
Glad he stood on business. Now, furthermore, for every Sleepers episode, I'm banning the word snooter.
Well, you don't call a dog's nose a snooter.
No, I call it a schnoz.
I call it a snooter.
Yeah.
Don't you have to go get your car washed right now?
I probably will on my way to the office.
See you tomorrow.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.